In Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chof Gimel. David had fled from Shaul. He had eventually made his way to Novi Yerakoanim, and they had, and the Kohen Achimelech had given him food and given him Goliath's sword and asked the Urim V'Tumim on his behalf. And as a result, we learned last week, Shaul had the whole city wiped out. He commanded Doeg, who was the one who brought this report, that Doeg should kill the whole city of Nov. One person had escaped from that city. It was a city of Kohanim, and the son of the Kohen, by the name of Evyosar, had escaped, and he came to join David. And that's what we're up to in Perek Chav Gimel. Ve'agiru leDavid leimor. They told David, saying, Hinei flishtim nilchamim b'ki'ilo. The Plishtim are fighting against Keilah. Vehema shosim asagronois. And they're plundering, they're taking everything in the granaries, all the food that's stored up. They're taking it all. This is always the test of a Manig Yisrael, of a tremendous tzaddik. David has his own problems here. Shaul's after his life. And the city that gave him assistance, the whole city was wiped out. This is serious business. There's no chance that Shaul's going to be Michael. If Shaul gets his hands on David, David knows he's finished. And at this moment, to be confronted with somebody else's tzaros, he's got somebody else's problem. The city of Keilah is under attack. You know, David can say, I have enough on my plate. You know, I have enough to take care of. Besides that, it doesn't seem to be like a life and death struggle. The Plishtim are Shosim es hagranois. They're plundering, they're taking the food. The Gemara has a discussion. If the Goyim come to attack cities in Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos, are the Jews allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to fight back? And the Gemara says, of course, if it's a case of Pikuach Nefesh, of course, if it's a life and death question, certainly it's Mutter. If the Goyim come for Iske Nefoshos, you know, to kill. But the Gemara discusses what happens if the Goyim are simply coming for a robbery. They're coming to steal. What do you do? The Goyim are coming. There's whatever. They're just looting. They broke into a Jewish city and they're looting. And you hear about it somewhere else. Are you allowed to go and be Mechal Shabbos to stop them? The Gemara discusses it in Eruvin Daf Mem Hei. And the Gemara says if it's a city on the border, even if they're just coming for money, you're allowed to go and be Mechal Shabbos to stop them because it's a border city, and once the Goyim break through that border city, even if they're just doing it for money, we don't know what it's going to lead to, and if you can take all steps necessary. This city, Keilah, was on the border between Yehuda and where the Plishtim lived. So they told David, saying the Plishtim are fighting against Keilah. And I noticed the Mephorshim question, how do you know, the way the Gemara understands it, it seems to be implied in the Pasuk, because it says the Plishtim were fighting against Keilah. Seems to be it was treated as it was a regular battle, even though the Plishtim seemed to be just after the food, just after Shosim es Hagranos. The Gemara says they came just for straw, Tevin and Kash, stubble. They didn't even want something valuable for themselves. And the Malbim points out, because normally the word, when they plunder for themselves, the word is used as bozes. They're taking bizo, they're taking the spoils. Shosim is a term like they were just destroying. They didn't even really need it for themselves. So they were coming here for money matters, and it wasn't like they even really needed it. It wasn't a serious conflict. But if the Plishtim are attacking a border city like Keilah, it's treated with all the severity like a war. There was a battle going on. There are no chamim b'ki'ilah, and they're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. And David now is confronted with this piece of news. And David felt, granos is the granaries where they have the food. Right. But in other words, the Mephorshim learn, in other words, they were just going after the food, and they didn't even really care for it. That's what they went for. It was out in the fields, I assume, the granaries. There was a minor skirmish, if you will. But Keilah is a border city, and therefore it's treated with all the severity that's imaginable. And we'll see, David felt an achrayus. Because perhaps the plishtim started up because they knew Shaul was preoccupied. Shaul just wiped out a Jewish city of Nov. Shaul is after David. So when they see Shaul's busy, maybe that's why the plishtim started up. But David understood he has to deal with this. Vayishal David b'Hashem leimor. So David asked the shaila. He asked from Hashem saying, Ha'ileich v'hikesi, should I go and strike b'plishtim o'ela these plishtim? And the Gemara said he wasn't asking whether it's mutter or aser. If you don't know the halacha, you don't ask Hashem. Go to Beis Din and find out what the halacha is. Go and ask your Rav. David knew it was mutter, even though it's Shabbos, as the Gemara explains, even though it's fighting a war, people can get killed. But David knew that it's mutter to fight the plishtim. The question is it going to be successful? Is this foolhardy for him to go with his 400 men? Or is this what he should do? Will he be matzliach? Should I go and strike these plishtim? Vayomer Hashem el David. Hashem said to David, Leich v'hikisa ba'plishtim. Go and strike the plishtim. V'hoshato es ki'ilo. And you will save the city of Ki'ilo. It could be, by the way, David's question also was, should I strike the plishtim? Some of Forshim note that David was recently shown a favor when he went to the plishtim. When he fled from Shaul, not the last stop when he went to Nov, but right before that, he had gone to the land of the plishtim, and they had identified that this is Shaul, the killer, the one who's been destroying the plishtim, and Shaul acted like he was David acted like he was a shaita, and they let him go. But they let him go. And perhaps David felt a little hakaras hatoiv. And we know these are the parshas, Shmos, you know, with Moshe Rabbeinu, the Hakaras HaTov, you don't want to strike the dirt, you know. But even so, this Hakaras HaTov was not to the plishtim, and as he acted like a meshuga, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the chesed of Hashem, released, you know, let him escape. But here, David was given the message he should go and strike the plishtim. Vayomru Anshi David Elov. But the men of David said to him, Hnei Anachnu Fobi Yehuda. We're here in Yehuda. This is friendly territory. Yireim, and we're afraid. Shaul came from the Shevet Binyamin. David and his men were from Yehuda. And they were in Yehuda, and yet they're afraid of Shaul. Vav kinelech ki'ila. And we should even take a more dangerous step and go to ki'ila el marchus plishtim, to the plishti lines, to their battle lines, to join a war. If we're going to fight against the plishtim, then we're going to have Shaul on one side after us and the plishtim on the other side. By the way, Rashi mentions a few times in the Torah where you find an example of a kal v'chomer. Like we have, Moshe said, Ta Hashem, Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shomu elai. B'nei Yisrael didn't listen. How do you think Paro's going to listen? A few places in the Torah have a kal v'chomer. This is another example. This is quoted as one of the 10 places where you have a kal v'chomer in Tanakh. If we're in Yehuda and we're afraid, so if we're going to leave our friendly territory, we're going to go to Ke'ila, certainly it's a danger. And therefore, they said, how can we go? Well, maybe the question will get answered. We'll hold that. One second. The question is, we just learned that Hashem told to David, go and fight and you'll be successful. What is the question of the Anshei David? And we'll see David seemed to be receptive to their concern, because in Pasuk Dalet it says, Vayosef O David Lishol Bashem, David further asked Hashem, or it says, men were troubled, are they going to succeed? And David again asked, Vayaneo Hashem, and Hashem answered him the same answer, Vayomer Kudum Reid Rekila, get up and go down to Ke'ila, Ki ani nosin es plishtim biyadecha. I'm going to give the plishtim into your hand. So how do we understand this? Why did he ask the second time and the people didn't believe it the first time? There are a few different possibilities. One is it doesn't say that he had the Urim v'Tumim. We'll see very shortly in Pasuk Vav, the next, right afterwards, in Pasuk Vav, when David got to Ke'ila, to this city, Evyasar, who had fled from Novi Irakonim, came and he brought with him the ephod, the special garment of the Kohen Gadol, on which he had the Choshen with the Urim V'Tumim, and then David had the Urim V'Tumim. At this point, could be David asked Hashem and he davened. And David davened to Hashem, should I go and fight against Keilah? And he obviously had a message through his davening that he was convinced he should go and he'll be successful. But his men were apprehensive. In other words, he was convinced, but they're risking their life. So David davened again. And when it was two times in davening, he was answered, even though it wasn't like the Urim V'Tumim, where it was a clear message for everyone. But somehow, however, this nevuah was communicated to David through his prayers. But if it happened twice, the men already accepted it. Another possibility is that when it says Evyosser brought the Urim V'Tumim to Keilah, it doesn't mean after David defeated the city. It means in this whole discussion with Keilah, David was the Urim V'Tumim came to join David. So he had the Urim V'Tumim. But the first time he asked the question privately. So nobody knows what he's asking. He took the Urim V'Tumim and asked, should I go and fight Keilah? And the answer was yes. But his men didn't know that. The second time he asked in the presence of his men, so that everyone can clear see the answer, the stones would light up and convey the message, and everyone saw that they should go and strike Keilah. And a third possibility is if you study the words carefully, there's a difference between the first time and the second time. When the Torah means to say that you'll destroy the enemy, you have, for instance, the Torah says, Hamake es Midyon. He's the one who struck Midyon. Es Midyon. Here in the word, in Pasuk Beis, it says, should I strike ba plishtim? Strike in the plishtim. Meaning not totally destroy them, not totally overcome them. Make a blow in the plishtim. Make a dent in them. He gives a ba plishtim. And Hashem said, okay, go and strike ba plishtim in the plishtim. Go ahead and attack, and you'll save the city. But that doesn't tell you where David's going to be left. He's going to save the city, he's going to make a blow against the plishtim, and then the next day, Shaul's against him and the plishtim are against him. So his men said, how can we go ahead and get involved? You'll save the city of Keilah, but it's at our expense. So David asked again, and this time the answer was, Ki ani nosein. Hashem said, I'm going to give them over, meaning it'll be a miracle. You'll see clearly the hashkacha, and then not just you're going to give a blow against the plishtim, but ani nosein es plishtim. Again, it's not just a blow in the plishtim. I'm going to give over the whole country, and you'll have a decisive victory that the plishtim will let you alone for a while. It'll be higisa es plishtim biyadech with your hand. Vayelech David v'anoshev Keilah. David and his men went to Keilah. And the word is written Vanoshoi, without a, the ksiv is without a yud, as if David and his man. It's like, could be he took very few, he took a few select warriors, they didn't even have all 400. But we read it Vanoshov and his men. David went with his men Keilah to Keilah, Vayilochim ba plishtim, and he fought against the plishtim, Vayinhag es miknehem, and he led away their cattle. Or he brought back spoils of war. And he struck them with a mighty blow. And David was able to save the inhabitants of Keilah from the plishtim. It's a small phrase, and when you're learning the pasuk, you sort of just go further. But for those who wonder, how did David survive all of this time on the run with 400 men? Where did he get supplies? These three words, Vayinag es miknehem, he was able to lead their cattle, shows that David walked away, left after this battle, he had animals with him, he had livestock. And in fact, later on in Perek Chof Hei, we have the whole story of Novel, which we'll get to, over there it mentions in Pasuk Tes Zayin, the men mentioned, we went together with David, and he took care of us. All that time that we were pasturing the sheep. Or at this point, it seems like David had a lot of sheep, so he was already able to... They certainly had meat, and I assume they could barter, and they were already able to... They had some source of parnasa for the time being. But David saved the Yoshev Kila. Vahin it was Bivroach of Yosef ben Achimelech al David. When of Yosef, the son of Achimelech, fled to David, Keilo and Keilo, Ephod Yorad Biyado, the Ephod, that garment of the Kohen Gadol, on which they put the Choshen with the Urim Vitumim, Yorad Biyado, he brought that down with him. The word Yorad is interesting, because ordinarily you would have used the term Ephod Horid Biyado, those Bali Diktuk. Ephod Horid would mean Evyasar brought down the Ephod. Yorad is almost implies like it happened on its own. Ephod, Yorad, Biyado. The Ephod happened to go down in the hands of Avyasar, and David and Avyasar showed up with Ephod, with the Urim V'tumim. However, there are sometimes, Pashut Pshat, is sometimes you find an unusual form of the verb. For instance, it says in Eicha, Eini Eini Yordamayim, my eyes are shedding tears. And the word is any yordamayim. Now it's not horid mayim or horidu mayim. Sometimes it uses the term yorad, but it means he brought down the ephod. It could also be that Evyasar was leaving, running for his life. The whole city of Nob was decimated. They were all killed. Evyasar was the one son who escaped, and he grabbed whatever he had, and he wasn't even thinking necessarily of the Urim V'tumim because he wasn't the Kohen Gadol. Until a moment before, he wasn't the Kohen Gadol. And he wasn't in charge of the Urim V'tumim. But he just grabbed a few things and he ran. It happened to be the ephod was somehow in the baggage. The ephod, Yorah, the ephod went down in his hand. But it doesn't use a term like horid, like it was something that he did with forethought. The ephod happened to be, and whatever he grabbed, the ephod was there. And a third message is a sad one, that the ephod really belongs by the Aron, by the Mizbeach, in a stationary place. You get a Bakovedik, an honorable place for the ephod, and now the ephod is joining the men on the run. It's going to go with David wherever he goes running. Ephod Yorad Biyado, the ephod took a step down. And the chashivus of the ephod has now got to go on the run. That's the ephod's going down. But you got the Shaul, it was told to Shaul, Kivod David Ki'ila. It was told to Shaul that David had came to Ki'ila. Vayomer Shaul, so Shaul said, Nikaro so Elohim biyodi, Hashem has given him over into my hands. And as I see, now I got David. This is it. Hashem gave him over into my hands. And you see again, Shaul, it's not, Shaul doesn't view it as his personal battle or his personal, or he's doing the wrong thing, or he's jealous. But this is a message from Hashem. This is the Hashkocha, that Hashem cares about Klal Yisrael, and he's the king, and he has to defend the Malchus until the moment comes where the new king will take over. But as long as he's king, he's got to be a king till the end. Nikaroso Elokim biyodi, Hashem gave him over into my hand. And the word Elokim is Midas Hadin. This is justice. This is what deserves to be, and this is what's right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as long as, I assume the Pshat is, as long as Shaul was alive and he was king, he's king. Midas Hadin demands that there should be no rebellion. Nikar Osel Kim Biyodi, Ki Niskar Lovoi, he's been totally closed up in this fortified city. Lovoi to come Be'ir de Lasayim, and a city with gates, Uvriach, and a bolt. Ki'ila was a city where you only entered through gates that were barricaded at night. Obviously it had a wall around it. It's a fortified city. Shaul said this actually works to my advantage. As long as David's in the open, he's running here and he's running there and it's hard to get a hold of him. If he's in a fortified city, I know exactly where he is. We can surround the city and we can get David. That's it. And David won't even think of running because he thinks he's safe in the city. The Malbim, by the way, notices, the Meforshim say Nikar means Hashem gave him over into my hands. Because you find a similar term in the Novi Ovadia. It's a very unusual expression, Nikar. The Malbim says, it's alluding to the fact that, of course, it means Hashem gave him over to the hands of Shaul, but also Nikar, that Shaul can now treat him like a Nochri, like a Ben Nechor, like a stranger, like a goy, like somebody who's not part of Klal Yisrael. In other words, now we've got him and we can deal with him without and do whatever needs to be done. In other words, Shaul's saying how he can get David and treat David. We can imagine what he has in mind. And make an end to David. Kiniskar Lovo, because he's come into this fortified city. Vayeshama Shaul Eskol Amla Milchama. Shaul gathers the whole people to war. Loretis Ki'ilo, to go down to Ki'ilo, Lotzer El David Vel Anoshov, to lay siege against David and David's men. Meaning Shaul's intention was not to wipe out the city. Shaul only had in mind David and David's men. But we'll see in a moment, David is going to assume that the whole city is in danger. That if Novi Irakonim was wiped out for helping David, Ki'ilo also could be will get wiped out. But the Pasuk is saying Shaul actually at this point must have realized that David had maybe only come because of the Plishtim and the people of Ki'ilo aren't to blame. He's out to catch David and David's men. Vayeda David. David knew ki olav Shaul machri shara, that Shaul is plotting evil against him. David knew it. Which is a strange thing, because if you see a whole army mobilizing against you, you don't have to be too bright to know that they're against you. But the Mefarshim again point out, it could be Shaul didn't tell people why they're coming to war. People realized there was an issue with David, who seemed to be have a few hundred men, and Shaul was after. And there was also the Plishtim, who were obviously had been on the attack. Shaul gathered all the people on Milchama for war. In fact, there's an Esnachta, the trup. It's like a stop. He gathered them for war, period. And he left it to their imagination. The president doesn't have to tell you who we're fighting. You're being called up for the draft. Shaul's intention was to go after David. But the people could be thought they're going after the Plishtim. But David knew the real reason. David, Vayeda David, that this mass mobilization was after him. It was all because of him. Vayomer of Yosser HaKohen. So David said to Yosser the Kohen, Hagisho HaEphod, bring close the Ephod with the Urim V'tumim, and we'll ask what will be. And now David davens. David asks the Urim V'tumim. Vayomer David. And David said, Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Hashem, who's the God of Klal Yisrael. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned with the welfare of the whole people. Shema Shama Avdecha, your servant has surely heard, I've heard very clearly, Ki Mevake Shaul Lovo El Ki'ilo, that Shaul seeks to come to the city of Ki'ilo, L'shaches Lo'ir Ba'avuri, to destroy the city because of me. And the Malba makes the point, when the Torah used the word like bigloli, that means because of what happened in the past. Bavuri is because of what's going to be in the future. So what David is saying is, we've reached a moment of decision. Shaul is going to tell the people in the city, if in the future you don't cooperate, you'll all be destroyed. L'shaches lo'ir bavuri, to destroy the city bavuri because of what they're going to do for me. So now that they're told that their behavior from now on is going to affect their future, David is afraid, Hayaskiruni Vali Ki'ilo Biyodo. Are the people of Ki'ilo going to hand me over to Shaul? Or is they going to be told they have a chance to save themselves? The fact that David is there right now is not like the city of Nov where they're going to be killed. But if they don't give over David now, then they'll be Chayiv Misa. So Hayaskiruni Vali Ki'ilo Biyodo. Are the people of Ki'ilo going to give me over to the hands of Shaul? Hayered Shaul! Is Shaul going to come down to the city? There are rumors like that, I heard that. But is it going to actually happen? Kasher Shama Avdecha, as your servant heard. Hashem Elokei Yisrael, again he reiterates, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Elokim over all of Klal Yisrael. Hagen Ol Avdecha, tell your servant. Or David views this as not his personal problem, but he knows he's the Mashiach Hashem, he's the one who's anointed to be the next king. This is a matter of importance to the whole nation. So Hashem Elokei Yisrael, tell me what's going to be. Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem said, Yered. he will go down. Meaning Shaul will go down to the city. And the Gemara says in Yuma, Daf Ayin Gimel, that the Urim V'Tumim ordinarily only answer one question. If you ask too many questions, you only get answered one question. David had asked two questions. Are the people in Keilah going to hand me over to Shaul? Is Shaul going to come down? So they answered one question. Usually they answer the first question. But over here, really, David asked the question sort of out of order. The first question is Shaul going to come to the city with an ultimatum, with a demand? And then the next question is, will the people in Keilah cooperate with Shaul and hand over David? So since, chronologically, the first question that has to be addressed is Shaul going to come? That was the answer that was given. Vayomer Hashem Yered. The Mefarshim explained, though, why David asked the questions like this. First of all, in cases of emergency, we'll see later on near the end of Shmuel Aleph, in cases of emergency, the Urim V'Tumim will sometimes answer two questions. The question is this an emergency? Shaul's not here yet. He heard that Shaul's going to be coming. David felt it was urgent enough that if he answers all the questions, hopefully he'll get all the information. And David was also almost positive that Shaul was going to come down. The main question is, Hayaskiruni vali ke'ila biyado. Are the people in Keilah going to give me over to Shaul? But I'm almost positive that Shaul's going to come. And he adds, this is the point, of course, Hayeri Shaul, is Shaul going to come down? If Shaul doesn't come, then the first question is of moot importance. But he was almost sure Shaul was going to come down. The main point is, are the people in Keilah going to give me over? But Hashem said, no. That is a question. Is Shaul going to come? You know, it's not a free question. It's a question, and therefore, Vayom Hashem Yered. And another approach that the Malva mentions is what David was asking was, Shaul might send a messenger. Messenger from the king. People of Keilah, hand over David. Now, if he's given a messenger like a message like that, a shliach is sent without the army, just the guy goes with the demand from the king, all they would ask for is David. The question is, Hayaskireni bali ki'ilo biyodo, Hayaskireni, are they going to give me over if it's a shliach? Question number two is, maybe he won't send a messenger. Maybe Shaul himself will come, and he comes with the army. And if the king comes with a demand, they're not going to let off the city so easily. And that's why the next question is, maybe Shaul himself will come down. And Hashem said he's going to come down. So Vayomer David, David said, Hayaskiru bali kila osi, are the people in Keilah going to give me over? Ves anoshai in my men, because if Shaul's coming, I want to know if the people in the city will give us over, and if they come, he's going to want our men also. Shaul wiped out the whole city of Novi Rakoanin. If Shaul comes to the city of Keilah, he won't let them go with just the one individual, David. He's going to at least demand David's men. Are they going to give us over? Osivis anoshai biyad Shaul. Are they going to give us all over into the hands of Shaul? Vayomer Hashem yaskiru. And Hashem said they will give. They will turn over David and his men. The people in Keilah, obviously, I mean, David had just saved them. The Plishtim had attacked, and David came to the rescue, and he defeated the Plishtim. Either they felt the loyalty to Shaul, or they were out to save their own skin. They knew that if they're not going to hand over David, they're in danger themselves. Whatever the case was, whatever Hakaras HaToiv they would have felt to David, whether it was justified or not justified, they were planning to give him over to Shaul. Again, it shows you, like, and you can just imagine what's going through David HaMelech's mind. In other words, here he went ahead and he risked, and his men weren't eager to do battle. He had asked Hashem twice, should I really go? Am I going to be Matzliach? And now he went, and the people of Keilah themselves, now he's got to worry about if the Plishtim are ever going to make a regroup and whether they come back, and Shaul's after him, and even the old city of Keilah is going to turn him over. And Hashem says they will turn over David and his men. By Yokum David Vanoshev. So David and his men got up. Kishesh Meosish, they were around 600 men. Obviously, a few additional people joined them from Keilah. They had come with 400. Now they had 600 men. Which again, the fact they have a greater force makes Shaul even more suspicious. Or it's David getting together even a bigger army and he's trying to get reinforcements. Could be these 200 people joined because they felt they're not safe anymore. Once they're in the city with David, their life is in danger. Whatever their cheshbon was, another 200 joined and he's got 600 men. Vayetzumi Ke'ilah, and they went out from Ke'ilah, Vayishalchu Basheri Salochu. And they traveled, wherever they traveled, they started wandering around. Well, a Shaul who got it was told to Shaul, Ki Nimlat David mi Ke'ilah, that David escaped from Ke'ilah, Vayechda Lotzeis. And Shaul stopped going out. He stopped. He thought he had David trapped in the city. David's loose again. So Shaul stopped. So Shaul stopped his pursuit. Vayeshev David Bamidbar. David now resided, he lived in the desert. Bamitzada, he's in strongholds, he had fortresses. Vayeshev Bahar, he resided in the mountain. Bamidbar Zif, in the desert Zif. Vayevakshehu Shaul kol hayomim. Shaul was seeking for him all the days. And the Mefarshim point out it was days, it wasn't years. This whole incident, after David became king, it was only 2.5 years till the end, till Shaul was nifter. So it wasn't years, but all the days Shaul was after him, v'lo nesano Elokim biyado, and Hashem didn't give over David into the hands of Shaul. And we'll see, it was almost miraculous, because Shaul was after him with an army. True, it's a desert and it's open area, and sometimes there's a forest, there's sagebrush, there's places to hide, and there's caves, but even so, when the king's after David, he knew basically where David was. The fact that he was saved was below Nisanu Elokim Biyodo. Hashem was helping David. Vayar David saw Ki Yotza Shaul Levakish Esnafsho. That Shaul went out to seek his life, that Shaul is after him. The David b'midbar zif, David is in this midbar zif b'chorsha in the forest. That was where he was hiding at this point. Vayokum Yehonasan ben Shaul. At this point, Yehonasan, the son of Shaul, got up, vayelech al David chorsha, and he went to David in the forest. He seemed to have had no problem finding David. Anyone knows he's hiding around that area. He went and he found him. Vayechazek es yodu b'elokim. And he was machazik his hand. He gave him encouragement. Be'elokim, by mentioning that Hashem is with David. He's the one who's anointed by Hashem. And he gave him words of chizik. And the word used is be'elokim, not even ba'Hashem. Meaning midas hadin, meaning he's told to David, we know you're going through tzaras, you're going through yisurim, he's running away and he's being pursued by one of the greatest tzaddikim. And he's just caught in the situation, nobody seems to believe in him or give him any chizik or any encouragement. By chazik is yodo be'elokim. There's a midas hadin here. But Yehoinasan came, I'm on your side, I'm with you. Vayomer elov, and Yehoinasan said to him, Al tira, don't be afraid. Ki lo simtzoacha yad shol ovi, the hand of my father Shaul will not reach you. Va'ata timloch al Yisrael, and you will rule over Klal Yisrael. And I will be your second. I'll be your vice king. Mishnah Lamelech. The Gam Shaul of Yodea came. And not only that, my father Shaul knows that. He knows that you're going to be the king. He doesn't accept it. He's not willing to make peace with that. But he knows it. Meaning he's telling David, first of all, Vaychazik es yodo be'elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. Second of all, my father Shaul won't be able to find you. And we know that you will be the king and I will be your Mishnah. And this is something we didn't have before. Previously, whenever he made a treaty with Shaul, he told Shaul, I'll back you and I'll help you. And when you become king, you shouldn't hurt me or my family and you should do chesed with us. Now he has a new idea. He's going to be a Mishnah. He's going to be a second to the king. Meaning, perhaps Yonasan will be able to bring the whole Shevet Binyamin to go under David. In other words, he should be the king. Yohanan would have been the king after Shaul. And the fact that Yohanan is acknowledging David as the king, that could unite the whole country. And we'll see what indeed happened was, Yohanan was later on killed, and there was another son, Ishbosheth, became king, and there was friction and wars between the different groups. And it didn't work out like this. But Yohanan is offering at this point, Vanochi Elochol Mishnah, I'll be your second, I'll be the number two. And if he's second to the king, that would unite the country, that everyone would be together under David. V'gam shol av yodei kena, my father knows it. Meaning right now he's pursuing you and you feel discouraged, but he knows it, and it's just, eventually he's just going to accept it and he'll stop, he'll be discouraged, he'll give up. He knows that you're going to be the king. V'yichosu shneim bris lifnei Hashem, and they both made a bris lifnei Hashem, either to emphasize this new idea that he'll be a Mishnah. Oh, Pashup Shah is just, after every change in events, they wanted to again reaffirm their friendship. Also, this time it says Lifnei Hashem. It was before Hashem, they had the Urim V'tumim there. It wasn't just a private between David and Yehoinasan, but the Urim V'tumim was there. Vayeshev David Bachorsha, David remained in the forest. And as he got that chizik from Yehoinasan, and at this moment, he stopped running. Or he'll be safe over here. Yehoinasan halach leveso, and Yehoinasan went back to his house. He didn't go back to his father, because if he would show up by Shaul, Shaul might ask him, where were you? And then what does he say? So he went back to his house. It's better to keep a low profile. So Yehoinasan went back to his house. David remained in the forest because Yehoinasan had told him he'll be safe, and at the moment he feels he can stay where he is. Vayalu Zifim, but it didn't last long. Vayalu Zifim El Shaul. He was in the forest of Zif. The people over there, the Zifim, went up to Shaul. Hagivosa by Giva, Lamor saying. And some of Forshim say, we had learned before, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, it said, Shaul stopped pursuing after David. Vayechta Alot says, he stopped going out after David. And then the next Pasuk says, Shaul was searching after David the whole time. It seems very strange. Like, it could be there was a very slight respite or a break. But some of Forshim learn that actually, Vayechta, let's say, Shaul had stopped pursuing after David. And the Navi tells us that when David was in the forest, Yehoinasan came and he gave him chizik. But this idea was like sort of a general thing by Vakshehu Shaul, that Shaul is chasing after David. But actually what happened was, Vayechta, let's say, Shaul had stopped going out. It might have been a very short time, and David, Yehoinasan came and he gave him chizik, and David was planning to stay in the forest. But then when the Zifim came, and they told Shaul, Hagivosa in Giva, Giva's Giva Shaul. And it could be Shaul was back in Giva Shaul, he was back in his house. Shaul was where he was, Yehoinasan went back to his house, David's in the forest, everything's quiet. But now the Zifim came and they said, hello, David mistatir imanu. David is hiding with us. Bamitzadois in the four fortresses. Bachorsha in the forest. Begivas hachachilo. In the Giva of Chachilo. In that place. Asher mimin ha-yeshimon. It's to the right of the yeshimon. The desolate area. Could be the name of the place was yeshimon. But they were very specific exactly where David was. And Chazal look at this as not that the Zifim were concerned l'shem Shemayim to help out Shaul, after all he's their king, but they look at the Zifim as simply Bali Lashon Hara. And they weren't doing it for what was best l'shem Shemayim, they were out pushing to hurt David. And in Tehillim, David says, there's a capital Tehillim about what David said when he was turned in by the Zifim. They went to Shaul and they said exactly where David is. Va'ata now, l'chol avas navshecha, by the any desire of your heart, of your life, whatever you want, l'chol avas navshecha hamelech, Loretis, if you want to go down and catch David, raid, go down. V'lonu haskiru b'yad hamelech, and it's up to us to turn him over to the king. Perhaps they told Shaul, you have an option. If you want, we'll get David for you. V'lonu haskiru b'yad hamelech, we'll turn him over to the king. If you would like the accomplishment that you caught David, David's rebelling against you, and you would like to catch him yourself, so that's also good. But we're telling you exactly where he is. Vayomer Shaul. So Shaul said, Bruchim Atem Lashem. You're blessed to Hashem. Hashem is the Midas HaRachimim. And you're blessed to Hashem. Ki Chamaltem Aloy. You had compassion on me. Again, you see what Shaul is going through. You have to feel, in other words, Shaul feels like he's on the defensive. And David is after him. As I say, Kubi is even looking at David, has more and more men on his side. And David seems to be in Yehuda, and the people in Yehuda, he feels are helping David. And he can't get his hands on David. And finally, somebody has a shtikl rachmanis. Ki chamaltam Allah, you had compassion on me. And you should be benched from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tolerate a Moirid v'malchus. You're not allowed to rebel against the Melech Yisrael. This is all what's going through Shaul's mind. Lechuna, go now. And again, he's very verbose over here. Hachinu oid, make further preparations. Ude'u, and you should know. You have to make sure you know. Ure'u and see es mekoymoi, his place. Arz David is a difficult person to catch. You got to make the preparations and make sure you know when you see his place. Well, you might know his place and you think it's close by, but make sure you actually see it. Asher tia ragla, and where his foot is. Something like, I'll tell you, he's in that place. He's in Borough Park. We're in Borough Park. I want to know not just his place. I want to know, asher tia ragla, where his feet are. Give me his dalet amos. Mi ra'ohu sham. Who saw David in that place? Don't tell me you have 600 men after all. It's a big group. You know, they know the group is on that block. I want to know who saw David. Maybe David left his men and David went on his own somewhere. Who saw David? Ki Omar Eli. He told me, Orom Yarimhu. He's a very sly, a very cunning person. Either it means whoever gave me the information about David warned me that David is a very dangerous person. He's very cunning. Some of Farshim say, Ki Omar Eli, David himself told this to Shaul. That after David defeated the Plishtim, when he first met Shaul, Shaul asked him, you know, you're leading the army and you're defeating David, Bereva Voisov, you're defeating your tens of thousands. How do you do it? And David didn't say, it's all hashkacha, you know, I'm such a tzaddik. He said, it's so simple, I got a strategy, whatever. You know, he made as if it wasn't such a big deal. He's cunning against the Plishtim. So Shaul says, he told me himself, he's a very cunning person, and if he's able to wipe out the Plishtim, don't just tell me you have an idea where he is. We got to do this very methodically. Ure'u, again stressing you should see. Ude'u and no, mikol hamachavoim, from all of the hiding places. Asher yischabe shom, where he could hide. You might know exactly where he is, but when we come, he's going to run. And if he goes running, so there must be a few hideaways. So I need to know exactly where he is. I need to know where he can escape to. V'shavtem Eli El Nochin, and return to me El Nochin with a definite, a secure knowledge. In other words, I want to know absolutely this information. V'halachti itchem, and then I'll go with you. And you might think, you know, Shaul just wanted all this information because he didn't want to have the headache of looking for David. So I figured, let them do all the work. But Shaul reassures them. It's because David is hard to find. But don't think it's my laziness or I'm going to not pursue it vigorously. But v'hoyim yeshnu v'aretz. I'm asking you to make all of these inquiries and get all the information. But once I come after David, v'hoyim yeshnu v'aretz, if he's in the land, v'chipasti osai, I'll search him out. Or you find out whatever you could, but once I'm after him, I'm going to search for him, b'chol alfei Yehuda, among all the thousands of Yehuda. Or every thousand had their sar alofim there, they were broken down into groups of thousands, but in every group, I will search for him all over Yehuda. Of course, Shaul assumed that he was that David would remain in Yehuda, which was David's friendly territory. Again, David himself, in other words, David's in Yehuda, and the Zifim are in the midbar of Yehuda. He's in the area of Yehuda. and his own countrymen, from his own shevet, turned him into Shaul. And we'll see later on with Nabal, it also happened in Yehuda. So it wasn't even... Yehuda was supposedly the most receptive to David. The family of Yishai was a respected family in Yehuda. But even so, there were people who constantly were siding with Shaul. Even though Shaul didn't feel that, and Shaul felt everyone's against him, but everyone felt the other one has it easy. Vayakumu, they got up. Vayelchu Zif, and they went back to Zif, lifnei Shaul, before Shaul. In other words, they went ahead of him, they're going to find out the information, and Shaul's riding back, and then Shaul will get David. V'David v'anoshav, David and his men, b'midbar Maon, were now in the desert of Maon, bo'arova, in the Arova, the flat land, El Yamin ha'yeshimon, to the right of the Yeshimon. Again, it tells you exactly where David is. And the people of Zif were after him, with Shaul further behind. Vayelech Shaul v'anoshav levakish. Shaul and his men went to seek. Vayagidu leDavid, and they told David. Vayered hasela, and he went down to the rock. Vayeshev b'midbar Maon, and he stayed in this desert Maon. Vayishma Shaul, so now Shaul heard exactly David had gone to by this rock. Shaul heard. Vayirduf achrei David midbar Maon, and he pursued after David to the desert of Maon. So he knows exactly where David is, and now he's on the rapid advance. He's chasing after him. Vayelech Shaul mitzad ha'har mizeh. Shaul went from the side of the mountain on this side. V'David v'anoshav mitzad ha'har mizeh. And David and his men were on the other side of the mountain. Or they're on the same mountain, and they're going around in a circle. David's on one side, and Shaul's on the other. Vayhi David nechboz v'leches. David was hastening to go, mipnei Shaul, because of Shaul. He was on the run. At this point in Tehillim, the Medrash points out, David said, Ani amarti b'chavzi, kol ha'adam kozev. I said in my haste, when I was running away from Shaul, and he's so close, he's right on the other side of the mountain, and he knows where I am, and he's coming around. Ani amarti b'chavzi, at this point I said, kol ha'adam kozev. Everyone is a kozev, a liar. Nobody's saying the emes. Kol ha'adam. Everyone, even the greatest, even the one speaking from Hashem, even Shmuel Hanavi. Shmuel anointed me and he said, you're going to be the king. Shmuel said he's going to be the king with the nevuah. And here Shaul's right on the other side of the mountain, and Shaul's definitely going to kill David if he gets him, and he's coming around. Kol ha'adam koizev. So the Medrash brings down, the Ruach HaKodesh answered. We had, in the end of Perek Gimel, way back in Perek Gimel, the Pasuk says, Ki nemon Shmuel enovi l'Hashem. Everyone knew that Shaul was a nemon, he was trustworthy as a novi to Hashem. How can you say kol ha'adam koizev? Everyone's a liar, nobody's true. Shmuel is a nemon l'Hashem. We'll see. David will be saved. So David was nechboz aleches mipnei Shaul. He was rushing to get away from Shaul, from before Shaul. V'Shaul v'anoshav, and Shaul and his men oitrim el David. And atara is a crown. Oitrim el David means they were encircling, like a crown that goes totally around the head. At this point, it's like, you know, you see two kids running around the tree playing tag or whatever, and they try to catch it. Eventually, the smart idea is if you got more than two people, you're Oichim El David Vel Anoshav. You get part of the people to go to the right and part of the people to go to the left, and you go around the mountain and you catch David, and stops the round and round and round. So they were Oichim El David Vel Anoshav to David and his men, Lesofsam, to grab them. So now it's just a moment a very short time. In other words, they split up and they're definitely going to get David on the other side. Previously, in the beginning of the Perek, in Pasuk Zion, it said, Vayugad l'Shaul. It was told to Shaul that David came to Keilah. Here it doesn't say, Vayugad l'Shaul. Shaul was told the following information. It says, Umalach bo. Now again, the Peshitta meaning is It means messengers. Like the Metzudas brings on that pshat. Well, it was a shliach. Pshat means a messenger. Umalach po, a messenger came al shol lame or to shol saying, Ma rov aleicha, hurry and go. Ki poshtu plishtim al aretz. The plishtim have spread out and they're attacking. They're on the move there. They've spread out over the land. But the Medrash says it was just a messenger. A messenger can come and he can give information to the king. But you don't go to the king and tell him what he's got to do. You don't tell the king, Ma rov aleicha, hurry up and go. The king will do whatever he wants to do. The very fact that it says Ma rov aleicha, this was a malach mamish, as Rashi brings down, malach mamish in order to save David. David said, Ani amarti b'chovzi kol adam koizev. The Ruach HaKodesh says, don't worry. If Shmuel gave a nevuah, it'll definitely come true. David will be the king. Umalach ba. And an actual malach was sent to Shaul to tell him, Meheira v'leicha, hurry and go. Ki poshtu plishtim al aretz. Because the plishtim have spread out over the land, and you have to stop them. It's a sakana for Klal Yisrael. By Yoshev Shaul. So Shaul turned back Mirdof achrei David from pursuing David. Vayelech likras plishtim. And he went to greet the plishtim, to go fight them, meet them in battle. Al kain therefore, koru lamokum ahu, they call that place, Sela hamach lekois. Sela, the rock, hamach lekois, where there was a division. Hamach lekois, a chaluka, there was a split. It was hamach lekois. What was the split? Could be the split was that finally Shaul and David went their own way. Now David is left behind and Shaul goes off to the plishtim and they separate. Instead of meeting together, they're separated. Chazal also see, Rashi brings down over here, this was a moment based on the Targum. This was a moment of indecision. Shaul and his men didn't know what to do. They're here chasing David. They have him. He's right there. And the Chazal bring down, the men of Shaul said, you have David. Let's first get David, and then you'll deal with the plishtim. And the other viewpoint is, the plishtim are attacking Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael comes first. And even though David's a threat to Klal Yisrael, but David's more, could be more of a personal thing. David's to the king, which of course affects Klal Yisrael. But if the plishtim are attacking Klal Yisrael, you have to put aside David. But the question was, they knew how hard it was to get David. And they finally have him. What do you do? Therefore, they call that place Sela Hamach Lekois. There was divisive opinions. But Shaul left David, and Shaul went after the plishtim. A third pshat is Sela Hamach Lekois. From this point on, and we'll see later on when David became the king and David had his army and he would travel with his thousands of men. Whenever he went by this place, by this rock, there were 600 men who left the group. David left the group with his 600 men and the whole army stayed where they were and they went and they said a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Sha'asa li nes b'mokum hazeh. That Hashem did a miracle for them in this place. Because they realized there must have been a malach that saved them. There was no way, b'derech ha-teva, that Shaul would have left them. So they separated to make a bracha, to thank Hashem for saving them. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.